You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we are joined by Mr. Paul Geiger, who helps business people communicate clearly, overcome their fear of public speaking, and promote themselves and their ideas with effective speech techniques. He is currently a senior associate instructor at New York Speech Coaching in New York City and author of Better Business Speech Techniques, Tricks, and Shortcuts for Public Speaking at Work. Mr. Geiger, a pleasure to have you with us today on Enterprise Radio.
Oh, thank you, Eric. It's a pleasure being on the show. Thank you for having me.
And you're more than welcome. Our pleasure. So for starters, tell us, what was your motivation for writing this book, Better Business Speech?
Well, I've been a speech coach for many years in New York City, and as unique as the challenges may seem to every individual who would come into my office, I started to see a real pattern. And I don't just mean that fear of public speaking, but it became apparent to me that really all communication for business is a form of public speaking. So then if you take that to the next step, if you have a fear of public speaking, it's almost like you have a fear of advancing your career. You're putting an unnecessary ceiling. I know it doesn't feel like it's unnecessary because the feelings are very strong when you have to get up and speak in front of colleagues, when the spotlight is on you, whether it's in a large scale or in a smaller scale. So I just wanted to talk about the many different challenges and the many different techniques and solutions that I came up with for my clients in New York and share it with a much wider audience. Because, boy, if we can feel good about public speaking, or at least feel more confident about public speaking, well, then that's a real bonus. It's a real boost for people in business.
And no doubt about that. Now, Better Business Speech offers practical advice for a number of public speaking challenges. How does your book differ from other books on public speaking?
Well, I weave together what I call the physical and the mental aspects of speech. I first look at them separately and then show the reader how to weave them together, because they both do inform each other. I mean, one of the interesting or eye-opening things about that fear of public speaking is that most individuals think that it's all in their head, when really the lifeline for getting through a public speaking situation, and I always say get through the first 15 seconds and you're well on your way, but that lifeline is really a physical one. And I hope, and I know from experience, that it gives people a little bit more confidence to know that there are some physical things that you can do. You can get it a little bit out of the web of thoughts that are going on in your head when you get up there to public speak. So looking at both the physical and the mental side and how they apply to business. And I really think that's the important thing. I broke it down into the business communication scenarios that I think are the most important, or the ones that we find ourselves in the most, that being meetings with superiors, presentations, as well as networking, job interviews, and finally I touch on sales calls as well, which is definitely a high-stakes business communication scenario.
Mr. Geiger, also in your book, you pinpoint two surprising keys to a successful presentation. What are they, and why do they make a difference?
Well, probably the most important one is to understand that there is a three ideas limit. I think everybody knows almost intuitively that you can really only absorb about three ideas in any session. So if you try to throw too much up against the wall and try to overstuff your presentation, then you're going to be in trouble, because it's not a matter of giving your listeners the information as much as it is you filtering all of that information through your perspective, because we do process things in chunks. So when we're listening, we want to know that those three ideas line up and they have a cohesive theme, but it's not overstuffing. So you want to keep it to pretty simple, three basic steps. And then have them work them out in advance. I think most people, the other mistake a lot of people make is that they don't actually speak their presentation prior to giving it. We think about it a lot. We understand that in the 11th hour, there's going to be a lot of new information and new slides and people having input and whatnot. So many of my clients were using that as an excuse to actually speak their presentation out loud. You don't want to be surprised by the sound of your voice delivering the presentation in performance mode. So that's another important aspect of it as well. Make sure that you speak the presentation prior to doing it. You don't want it to be the first time that you hear it is when you're doing it in front of your colleagues.
And I totally would agree with that. Today we're joined by Mr. Paul Geiger, Senior Associate Instructor at New York Speech Coaching in New York City and author of Better Business Speech Techniques, Tricks, and Shortcuts for Public Speaking at Work here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Mr. Geiger, you advocate limiting yourself to a three-idea explanation. Why is this a good idea?
Well, because it is the way that most of us process information, and it's also an easier way to keep yourself on track. I always tell everybody, think of your presentation as a strong framework where you have your three ideas at about a 20,000-foot level, and then you have the banner, in other words, what the overall message is at 40,000 feet, and everything below 20,000 feet is what I call getting into the weeds. So you don't want to get into too much of that. You want to make sure that your ideas go together so that your listeners actually can understand, can see that structure, can sense that structure of what your presentation is all about. And I advocate mapping that out right in the beginning. In other words, I think it makes us all feel like we're prepared to take on what is coming when we hear someone say, we're going to cover this, this, and this, those three ideas. So that has a tendency to give us that structure that we can then work with. Of course, you can go into the details, you can go into the weeds upon request or upon, you know, need for elaboration.
Also, get into what role do gestures play in engaging the audience?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Eric. Gestures, as we know, when we see someone who is not gesturing well, it's kind of interesting. When someone is gesturing well, we just take it in. We take in the whole picture. We take in the visual as well as the audio aspect of their presentation. Gestures are very, very important because they are more than 50% of the message. There are studies that say that the conveying of a message is mostly physical, and that's really body language. So we have to include facial expressions, eye contact, posture, and gestures. But I think the one that bedevils many people is what to do with their hands. And we know when we're watching somebody who's gesturing well, it's fluid. It is just one gesture going right into the next. There is no sort of default place to go to with your hands while you're resting, because when you're giving a presentation, the spotlight is on you, you're active. You're going from one gesture to the next. So some of the red flags to watch out for when you're gesturing is make sure that you don't repeat the same gesture over and over again. And make sure that, again, your gestures are fluid. And that's the perception that we give off. But the interesting thing is that the sensation of gesturing well is one that keeps the speaker connected to their body. And there's a lot that goes into disconnecting you from your body when you're in a public speaking role, because you get a little bit of nervous, your body gets a little tight, you're not able to really breathe the way you ought to, and there's a tendency to sort of stop the flow of gesturing that feels so natural, the way that we gesture when we're just with friends and we're speaking and it's casual. Of course, when the stakes get a little bit higher, we become a little bit more self-aware, we become a little bit more self-judgmental, have a tendency to cut down on those gestures when really that's the time when you want the fluidity, when you want that natural gesturing that sends a message of authenticity and commitment to the words that you're saying. And by the way, Eric, even when you're on the phone, you should be gesturing. So as I'm speaking with you, I am walking around the room, I'm gesturing in support of the things that I'm saying, because it comes through in your voice. As much as it is a visual thing, it also has an effect on the tone, on the forward momentum of you speaking your ideas.
It truly does, no doubt about that. Now, what is the biggest mistake that most public speakers make? Certainly want to get your input here.
Well, the biggest mistake that most public speakers make is really not having anything to rely on in those first couple of seconds of a public speaking scenario. In other words, you have to stay connected to your body. You have to be clear about what your opening statement is. You have to make sure that you are using breath to flow with forward momentum. So I think what happens is most public speakers, right in the beginning, in the first 10 to 15 seconds, get gobbled up by all the forces that are actually present in any public speaking scenario. There is definitely an energy of attention. There is definitely a sense of judgment. There is definitely a fear of consequences. These are not things that are unique to any individual. But you have to have a plan. You have to have some sort of understanding of your technique that will get you through it, as opposed to, I just hope and pray that I'm going to get through it. Now, we're talking about, obviously, the public speakers who do it with infrequency. Public speakers who find themselves in those scenarios often have a tendency, as I mentioned earlier, to overstuff. So there are a couple of things that are going on here. You've got to be able to deliver a statement with a definitive nature. I call it planting your flag in the sand. And that requires that your body be a part of delivering that message in order to get it across in the right way.
You mentioned earlier the energy of attention. What do you mean by the energy of attention, and what should a presenter do to manage that?
Okay. The energy of attention, Eric, it's very simply the energy you feel even when you're speaking one-on-one with an individual in a conversation. You just simply feel the energy of them listening to you. So when you add more people to the equation, in other words, more people focusing on you when it's your turn in the spotlight, that energy is going to go up. And of course, if you're in front of a very large group, it's going to be quite substantial. It's a real thing. And I think many individuals hope and pray that they'll be able to ignore it as opposed to manage it. So I think the public speakers who we admire, the people who are able to speak in a way that compels us, they become compelling narrators, they have understood how to habituate, how to become accustomed to that energy coming toward them, and they understand what to do to be able to push back so they don't get consumed or overwhelmed by that wave of energy that's coming. And when I say that it's real, I mean it's as real as the weather. You know, if you went outside and you saw that it was raining, you wouldn't go outside without an umbrella and then question why you're getting wet. So this energy of attention, though, is also a trigger for two other things, and that is a sense of judgment, which in reality, we really want the people who are listening to us to use their sense of judgment, to use it in a way that says that we are, in fact, driving the bus, we are committed to the words that we're saying. But when the energy of attention hits you as a surprise, something that you're not expecting, there's a tendency to go into the negative side of the sense of judgment, which can make it seem like everyone's staring at you, waiting for you to prove that you are who you are as a public speaker, or prove that what you're about to say makes sense. So there's also that also triggers the fear of consequences, which is not so much a fear that you're going to lose your job if you don't do a wonderful presentation, but more of a sense of, okay, here we go again. You know, here I am feeling nervous and uncomfortable, and I want this to be over as quickly as possible. So you can see the energy of the tension, which is real, is the trigger for all of those other feelings that most people bundle together and just call it nerves or fear of public speaking or, ooh, I hate public speaking.
Mr. Geiger, it certainly has been a pleasure to have had you. A lot of great information shared here today. And for those that are listening in that have had public speaking experience, you certainly can relate to this. And those that haven't, I highly recommend it. It is certainly life-changing. Mr. Geiger, where can listeners get more information on you, and how can they pick up your book?
Well, I think the easiest thing, Eric, would be to visit my website, which is paulgeiger.com. And my last name is spelled G-E-I-G-E-R.
Easy enough. Again, Mr. Geiger, it's been our pleasure to have had you. Thanks for all the expertise shared here today on the program. Much appreciated.
My pleasure, Eric. Thank you so much.
And you're more than welcome. We've been speaking with Mr. Paul Geiger, Senior Associate Instructor at New York Speech Coaching in New York City and author of Better Business Speech Techniques, Tricks, and Shortcuts for Public Speaking at Work. And for further details, visit paulgeiger.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Check out our new live location as we are now streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live with a new app coming soon to accompany our live stream in the coming weeks. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.